Pastor Greg Laurie recommends a great film about the 40th President of the United States.
We have a movie that's going to tell you the story of this man who changed the world. Ronald Reagan was a man who believed in Jesus Christ. You're going to be inspired by it. In this brand new film starring Dennis Quaid, it's called Reagan. And it's our gift to you for your gift of any size.
Available on DVD and digital download at harvest.org.
Fear and faith don't get along. When faith walks in, fear walks out. When fear walks in, faith walks out. So you have to decide what you're going to give into.
Faith and fear aren't on speaking terms. Worse than that, Pastor Greg Laurie points out today, faith and fear are often at war in our minds.
Christian life is not a cakewalk, it's a conflict. So we have to decide, are we going to live by faith or are we going to live by fear?
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Cartoons have often depicted an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other, each whispering their suggestions. Who will he listen to, the angel or the demon? Cartoons have had some lighthearted fun with what's often a real struggle, spiritual warfare. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie brings us some practical encouragement straight from the pages of the Psalms. Psalm 27 says to each of us, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. It's a lot of things we're afraid of. I looked at a list of things that frighten Americans the most. On the top of the list, the fear of economic or financial collapse, the fear of Russia using nuclear weapons against us, the fear of the United States becoming involved in another world war. And then there's personal fears, fear of people you love becoming seriously ill, fear of people that you love dying, personal, financial fears. And your fears change as you age. When you're young, it's the fear of the future. Am I going to succeed in life? What career path am I going to pursue? Will I ever get married? Man, I want to be an adult. That'll be so much better. And then you become an adult. And you say, oh, I wish I was a kid again. It was so much easier back then. But I read that the number one fear of most people is something called glossophobia. You heard of that? Glossophobia. It's the fear of public speaking. How many of you have the fear of public speaking? Raise your hand. Okay, I want you to come up right now here. No, seriously. For many, it would be a fate worse than death. So basically, if the number one fear is public speaking, and then the number two fear is death, that means most people would rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy at a funeral. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? But I'll tell you, fear can affect everything that you do. It can actually affect you in your health. Studies have been done and have been shown to reveal that heart attacks, ulcers, depression, nervous breakdowns, obesity, and even cancer can be related to anxiety, worry, and fear. Brain research has been done and has revealed that 90% of doctor visits in the USA are triggered by a stress-related illness. So I did hear the story of a man who was very sick. I shouldn't laugh about that. He was very sick. And he didn't know what was wrong with him, so he went with his wife to the doctor. And the doctor met with the man. And then the doctor said to the wife, could you come into my office for a moment alone? I want to talk to you about your husband. She came in, took a seat, and the doctor said, okay, here's the thing. Your husband is very sick, and he could die within 6 months because of the stress he is under. Here's what you need to do. You need to create a stress-free environment for him for up to a year. What that means is you don't ask him to do any chores. You don't ask him to do any work whatsoever. You just smother him with affection, cook him his favorite meal, make his life as easy as it possibly can be. If you do this for 6 months to a year, I think he'll make a full recovery. The woman said, thank you, doctor. And so the husband and wife got in the car and they're driving home. And the man said, "What did the doctor say?" She said, "You're going to die." So stress can be related to fear for sure. So what do we need to do? What do we do with fear? We all have to face it. We can't live a life without fear. We can live a fearless life. I'll tell you in a moment. But here's what we need to do. If you're taking notes, here's point number one. We need to face our fears. We need to face our fears. And that is what we see David doing here in Psalm 27. Now, we don't know where this fits exactly in the chronology of David's life, but I think we could safely say this psalm was written after he defeated the 9-foot, 6-inch Philistine man named Goliath in the Valley of Elah. And this is probably after he has been anointed to be the king, of course, but he has not yet ascended to the throne. And so we see David literally running for his life. David was a courageous man. He would take on, by his own admission, lions and bears. That's pretty hardcore, right? To face a lion or a bear? I had some raccoons in my backyard a couple of years ago, and I didn't want them there. And so I needed to throw something at them, and all I could find are these little oranges. They're the small ones. I think they call them cuties, right? So I got a handful of cuties. I'm throwing them at the raccoons. Not one of them hit the raccoon. It's like the raccoon was standing there with one hand on his hip, like, is that it? And then his kids, okay, guys, let's go. This guy's a loser. And so that's my attempt at trying to stop an animal. But David would take on the most threatening of animals, reminding us that we have to face our giants. We need to attack our giants. What do I mean by a giant? It could be a giant financial problem. It could be a giant health problem. It could be a giant prodigal problem, a son or a daughter that's gone astray. It could be a giant addiction problem. Fill in blank here. Whatever your giant is, your obstacle, you face it. You don't run from it. Now, David did defeat Goliath, and he became a rock star overnight. They even wrote a song about him. It was a hit on Spotify with 1 billion downloads. So he was popular. They sang, oh, Saul, the king at the time, has slain his thousands, but David has slain his tens of thousands. But Saul was so angry and jealous that someone was going to replace him on the throne, he decided he was going to kill this young boy. And so David is running for his life at this point. And then he writes these powerful words. Read them with me. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid? So number one, we need to face our fears. Number two, we need to overcome our fear. See, replace fear with faith. Because David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation, he could then say, of whom then shall I be afraid? Going back to Psalm 23, because David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he could also say, I shall not want. Because David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he could also say, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now here in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then shall I be afraid? See, fear and faith don't get along. Do you know people that don't mix well? Maybe if you're going to go out to dinner, you'll say, let's invite this person. And someone will say, what about this other? Oh, don't invite them. These two don't get along. They don't mix well. You know people like that? It's like oil and water. Okay, that's faith and fear. When faith walks in, fear walks out. When fear walks in, faith walks out. So you have to decide what you're going to give into. You decide what you're going to do when conflict comes in your path. You can't control your life that way. You can't stop problems from coming, but you have everything to say about how you're going to react. The Christian life is not a cakewalk, it's a conflict. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. So we have to decide, are we going to live by faith or are we going to live by fear? I'm talking to somebody right now that is just absolutely filled with fear, anxiety, and worry. And there's always something to worry about, isn't there? And it often hits us in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. You ever just wake up, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's something else, and you start worrying, what if this happens? Oh no, what if that happens? Then what if this other thing begins to happen? So what's the best thing to do? Bringing me to point number three, when you're afraid in the dark, turn on the light. Go back to verse one, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? So when a child is afraid of the dark, they think there's monsters under the bed or in the closet, turn on the light and reassure them. As mom or dad, you tell them everything is okay. They need the loving reassurance of a parent or an adult. And we have the loving reassurance of our Father who reminds us that everything is okay. And how does he reassure us? Through the word of God. This is the light we apply. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and it's a light on my path. If you ever notice how things look different when you turn on the light? So forget the threats you're hearing in the darkness and remember what you heard from God's word in the light of day.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
It's such a blessing to hear from listeners who take time to express their appreciation.
Pastor Greg, when I rededicated my life to Christ 2 years ago, I knew I needed a Bible. I prayed that God would lead me to the one best for me. And that's when I came across your New Believer's Bible. When I received it, I read it front to back, and it was amazing. I really appreciated reading the notes you wrote, Greg, your explanation of the context of certain verses. I then discovered your preaching, and I started listening to your podcasts and watching your sermons. I really love your sense of humor and how genuine you are. Thank you so much for everything, Pastor Greg.
Has Pastor Greg heard from you? Why not drop him an email and tell your story? Send it to greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, we're getting some great biblical insight today on how to face our fears in Pastor Greg's message called Don't Be Afraid. Let's continue.
Point number four, face your fears in God's strength, not your own. Face your fears in God's strength, not your own. David says again in verse one, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Then he says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Far too often, we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, and we're going to fail. When dealing with the topic of spiritual warfare, Paul in Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. But before any of that, he says, stand in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But then the apostle Paul reminds us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there might come a point, and I hope there will come a point, when you'll say, this is bigger than me. I can't overcome this problem. I've tried and I failed. So Lord, I come to you. Listen, when you get to the end of yourself, you get to the beginning of God. Let God be the strength of your life. The Bible says he's a present help in times of trouble. Number five, God is bigger than your enemies. God is bigger than your enemies. Look at verse two. When the wicked came against me, David writes, to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and they fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now, David is not speaking figuratively. He is speaking literally. He had actual enemies, Saul and his army, that were hunting David down. So he could die easily. And he is saying God is stronger than his enemies. And look at verse 5. He says, in the time of trouble, he'll keep me safe in the secret place of his tabernacle. He'll hide me and set me high upon a rock. God's going to keep you safe. Now, does that mean that a Christian will never have an accident? Does that mean that a Christian will never get sick? Does that mean a Christian will never die? Of course, the answer to that is no. We know that bad things happen to godly people. And if you don't believe me, read the book of Job. And we all know that whole situation began when God was bragging on Job in heaven. The angels were present, including Lucifer, also known as Satan. And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil?" Satan pushed back. He challenged that claim. And a series of calamities came upon poor Job. And Job didn't know what was going on. One day he wakes up and his whole world is falling apart. The problem with Job is he never read the book of Job. He experienced it real time. But the fact of the matter is, this was happening not because he was godless, but because he was godly. You see, we think when we become a godly man or a godly woman, things are going to get easier. And in some ways, that's true. But in other ways, you're going to have a whole new set of problems. But you have a God you're following that's worth it all and is bigger than any problem you're going to face. Right? I think we all love Romans 8:28, great verse. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But don't forget there's another great verse there in Romans 8. It's Romans 8:38, which says, "I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." So sometimes that thing you're facing that seems like the worst case scenario may actually turn out to be a good thing. Now, let me qualify that statement. There are things that will happen to you that are bad things. They'll always be bad things. Okay, I'm not suggesting every bad thing becomes a good thing. But I am also saying there are times when it seems like a bad thing and it actually turns out to be a good thing. Let me illustrate. I read the story of a marine biologist who went out to photograph whales. She had a film crew with her. A 50,000-pound whale comes toward her in the ocean and begins to push her. She thinks, "This is how I'm going to die. I'm going to be drowned by this whale." But that massive creature gently continued to push her until she came to her boat, and she climbed into the boat, and then she realized what was actually happening. That whale was not trying to kill her. He was trying to save her, because after she climbed in the boat, she looked back in the water and saw a 15-foot tiger shark that had been stalking her. Isn't that amazing? The whale saved her life. She thought, "I'm going to die by a whale." Whale's like, "No, I'm getting you out of here, man, because that shark is after you." And then the funny thing, she said when it was all over, the whale just did a little blow out of his spout, like, "Bye." You know, just cruise off. "God bless." Wow. So it looked like the worst case scenario, and actually it saved her from the worst case scenario. Number six, David knew that the main thing was to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Look at verse 4, Psalm 27. David writes, "One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." A danger in life is to permit urgent things to crowd out the most important things. Let me say that again. A danger in life is to allow urgent, and I'll put the word urgent in quotes, urgent things to crowd out the most important things. You know, it's interesting to take this phrase, one thing, and follow it through scripture. There's a story in the Gospels of when Jesus came to visit his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He came there all the time, and Martha was an amazing cook, and Jesus looked forward to her home-cooked meals, I have no doubt. And he would probably just show up, "Hey, Martha, how's it going? I have 12 friends. Can we just crash here for a while? And would you whip us up something?" She was always happy to make food for Jesus. So she's in the kitchen working away, and she's overwhelmed by it all. And she wonders why her sister Mary is not assisting her. So she looks out in the front room, and Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in his words, and she's frustrated. You can see her coming out. She has her apron on, food splattered everywhere. And she comes out and she actually says this. She says, why is my sister not helping me? And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part. Here's what Jesus is saying to Martha. Allow me to paraphrase. Martha, chill. Appreciate your hard work. Love your home cooking. Love your attention to detail. But there's a time to work and there's a time to worship. And your sister figured that out, and you'd benefit if you sat here with her as well. One thing, he said, is important. One thing is needed. Then Paul uses that phrase, one thing, in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. He says, one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, look, I'm not going to be crippled by my past. I'm not going to be haunted by my past because I have been forgiven of my past. So one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Think of an athlete headed toward the finish line. You're almost there. I'm pressing on. I'm going to finish this. That's what Paul is saying. So for David, the one thing was fellowship with God and his people. For Mary, the one thing was sitting at the feet of Jesus. For Paul, the one thing was moving forward spiritually. What's your one thing? What one thing are you defined by? How would you say it? This one thing I do. What would your one thing that you do be? I hope it's putting Christ first in your life.
Pastor Greg Laurie, pointing out the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Important insight from Psalm 27 today, here on A New Beginning. So, is your main thing to put the Lord first in your life? Perhaps you've never come to the Lord to begin a relationship with Him. Pastor Greg, what would you say to the person listening who wants to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord?
I would say that God is just a prayer away. You know, it doesn't take years to become a Christian. It doesn't take months. Frankly, it doesn't even take hours. It can happen so quickly. It just starts with you saying to God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you love me. I know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin and pay for those sins and then to rise again from the dead, and I want him to come into my life. So here's my question to you. Have you done that yet? Because Jesus, who did die on that cross and rose again from the dead 3 days later, is alive and standing at the door of your life right now, and he's knocking. And he's saying, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Would you like your sin forgiven? Would you like to know that when you die, you will go to heaven? Do you want Christ to come into your life right now? If so, why don't you just stop whatever it is you're doing and pray this prayer with me? You could pray it out loud. You can pray it in the quietness of your own heart. But pray this prayer to God. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I know that you are the Savior who died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin, and I turn from it now, and I choose to follow you from this moment forward. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, the Bible promises that God has heard your prayer and has answered that prayer. The Bible says that if we will confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, God bless you. You've made the right decision, the decision to follow Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, Pastor Greg would like to help you start off right, living for the Lord. He'd like to send you his New Believer's Bible. It features hundreds of helps for new believers, and it's written in an easy-to-understand translation. So contact us for your free copy of the New Believer's Bible. Call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or write to us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go online to harvest.org and click Know God. And Pastor Greg, we're so thankful for the work God is doing through this ministry.
Yeah.
We're touching lives for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really thankful for our friends who see the fruit of this ministry and invest so this work can reach even further. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. When you invest in Harvest Ministries, you're investing in the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And what is the value of a soul? Well, let me personalize it. What's the value of your soul? What's the value of the soul of your husband, your wife, your son or your daughter, or your mom or your dad, or your best friend? Well, I would say you probably couldn't put a price tag on it. It's so valuable. Well, listen, God says all souls are mine. God loves us and sent his son to die on the cross to pay the price for all of our sins so we could be forgiven and come into a relationship with him. I can't think of a better investment of my resources, of my money, than in the work of the kingdom of God. So we would ask you to prayerfully consider investing in Harvest Ministries as we continue on to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yeah, that's right. And you can make your donation right now at harvest.org or write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's a 24/7 phone number, 1-800-821-3300. Well, next time, more insight on our good, good Father by way of our study in Psalm 27. Join us here on A New Beginning with Pastor and Bible Teacher Greg Laurie.